Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 13. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. This is the text. Salvation is faith. At first hearing that, your ears having heard the word of God and trained in Luther's catechism, it would tell you that a statement like that needs more clarification. Salvation is faith? It was something that Jonathan Fiske said in a video a few months ago. Been pondering that for a while. Having faith in faith leads to a very weak faith. And that's not what I'm talking about, and that's certainly not what he was talking about. In the past 2 weeks, we've read all the statements in Hebrews 11 of how the saints of old lived and acted by faith. Go back and read Hebrews 11 and how... Count the number of times it says, by faith. Salvation is faith. It is how they lived. It is the thing that we lost. That's the thing that Adam and Eve rejected. And that is what must be put back in you by God. Salvation is faith. Faith. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It may sound like an odd statement, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, but salvation is not simply the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting. Salvation is not some hope stretched out into the future that you will one day experience. Also, it is not simply one day being out from under the tyranny of the devil and the curses of the thorns and thistles that we know is a result of Adam's sin. That is the curse of sin. And sin is the cause of death and damnation. We heard Elizabeth sing, the wages of sin is death. Christ's cross and the empty tomb is the only cure for this world, but for salvation to happen for you, what first must be fixed is unbelief, a lack of faith. And as I said last week, unbelief is not just the public denial of atheists. Unbelief is manifested when God's word is treated as being cheap or common. When hearing the word of God is not a high priority. Unbelief happens when the promises of God are treated as having little or no value, or just seen as something that is an afterthought in our lives. If I promise to give you $10,000 as a gift, and I give you a valid check with all the proper data and the signature, it is a promise to you, a promissory note. I give you a check for $10,000. It has real value. If you choose to throw it in your desk drawer and ignore it, because you really don't think that I would give you a gift like that, or more likely, you don't believe that I have the means or the capability of giving you a gift like that, and you don't want to go through the embarrassment of trying to cash the check and being told that it's no good. I mean, how could you be so gullible? You think your pastor's going to give you a check for $10,000? You know, if it's something seems too good to be true, you should know by now it's probably too good to be true. Or you just tear it up and throw it away because you are convinced that it has to be some sort of a scam. And you look at me as some sort of a scam artist. Either way, you don't get the benefit of the check. Because you did not believe that this promise had any value. You did not believe that that check is what I promised that it is. If you then do this and grumble and say, oh, he promised to give me $10,000 and all he gave me was this check. Well, the problem was not with the check or with the one who gave it to you. Well, God has given you a promise that is worth much more than $10,000. He has promised that your sins were washed clean in the waters of baptism. He has promised that the blood of Jesus poured out on the cross has paid for the guilt of Adam and his sin and the guilt of everything you have ever done. Every thought, every word, every deed. And he promises that he will blot them out of his memory. He will not hold them against you. The promise is valid, but it has no value to you without the Holy Spirit creating faith in your heart. You must have faith in that promise. Only then will you receive the benefit of the promise, the forgiveness of sins, life, the resurrection of the body, eternity with our Lord. We gather together this morning to hear this message of promise in His Word. You are invited to come to the Lord's table and receive the body broken, the blood shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord that saved you. We gather together and call upon the name of the Lord and confess our faith in what He has done. He has rescued you from the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. He has welcomed you and invited you to recline at table in the kingdom of God forever. If you truly believe this promise and have saving faith in what Christ has done for you, with knowing what He has rescued you from and what He has promised in the future, there is no way God's word of promise could be viewed as being cheap, common, or a low priority. It has to be your highest priority. Any other response could be viewed as insanity. I mean, if I gave you a check for $10,000 and your spouse took it and tore it up, what would your response be? There would probably be some discussion in the house. You would say, they must have gone insane. What if they just said, oh, you know, we won't cash it. We'll just put it in the desk drawer and we'll know that it's there. And we can look at it again if we need it. Again, there would probably be some serious discussion in the household. Yet when the promise in question is the promise of eternal life in Christ, a great many are content to throw it in the desk drawer and come back to it when something happens and God becomes needed. Jesus says, it is a narrow door through which the children of God must enter. It's much easier to hang out and party with the pagans. As I mentioned last week, as we send our young people off to school, especially for our college students, being a child of God is a difficult thing. It's painful to be laughed at and ridiculed by the crowd who think they know everything. Being laughed at for having faith being sure of what you hope for, being certain of things you can't see, they may laugh at you. But remember that their laughter is the laughter of a fool. Only fools or the insane would take a valid check and tear it up. However, as I said, it's easier to hang out with the fools in the street, especially when they think, or when they make you think that you get to have more freedom by being with them. Freedom to have and do what you want. Freedom to be who you want to be. To experience things that God says you should not do. The guilty pleasures of life. You get to live life as a free individual. Oh, how our world loves that concept. However, their idea of freedom is really slavery to sin. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. A narrow door does not let you carry anything with you. It requires you to come before the Lord empty-handed. There's a reason that we confess again and again, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I have nothing to offer that will rescue me from that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which is why we come together and rejoice that we have real freedom. Freedom found in God's word of promise that baptism now saves you. 1 Peter chapter 3, one of the great statements of gospel in all of Scripture. Baptism now saves you. Salvation is now. It's not something you're looking for off in the future. Our Lord has saved you now. It's why we repeatedly come back to be reminded of our baptism, to hear God's word of promise, to hear how the promises made to Adam have been fulfilled in Christ already. Now we are saved. It's why our Lord invites us to his table and says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the body and blood broken and shed for you, right now is the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Something that you receive this day. Which is why doing this is of the highest priority. The sinful experiences and ungodly pleasures that the pagan fools trumpet in the street as being the best part of life, well, that cannot coexist with Christ. So he forgives you and he invites you to enter into his kingdom. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Your Father in heaven has never given you a gift that is cheap or common. Have faith. Salvation is faith. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.